Well, hello everyone. Thanks for joining in again today. I want to talk to you some about your new heart, because the scripture says that we're partakers of the divine nature. Let me show you something about who we are and who you are. This is in John 14, verse 18. Now, Jesus has just told the disciples in the Upper Room Discourse that he's going to leave them. And so they're obviously upset about that. But then he's telling them that even though he's leaving them in one sense, he's actually going to come back to them, not about the second cup, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 16, he makes it really clear to them, it's better that he goes away, because when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus won't just be with them, he'll be in them. And so Jesus not being with them seemed to be a sad thing. He's going to leave them, but he's telling them it's going to be even better, because you've known the wonder and the joy of having me with you, but you'll know the reality of a new creation as a result of me being in you. But this is what he says in verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And again, that's not about the second coming. He's talking about Pentecost here. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me, and because I live, you shall live also. Now, to understand fully what that verse means, you got to read the very next verse. In that day, speaking about Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit will be poured out, and for us, our Pentecost is our new birth. Every time we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes live inside of us. Every time a person is born again, the Holy Spirit comes live inside of them. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Now hear it again. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. When he says, because he lives, we're going to live also, is because we're going to be sharing his life. He and us and him. This is talking about our union with Christ. And so Jesus joins us to himself. That's what makes you a new creation. The fact that you're in Christ, and therefore Christ is in you. And that's what makes you this new creature that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 talks about. I think we quoted this verse last week from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that you are his masterpiece because you were created in Christ Jesus. You were created in the stuff of Jesus. And so you have been joined to him, and his nature is your nature. His heart is your heart. You're a new creature. Now, in this chapter, he talks to them about loving him, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says that in verse 15. And then in verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. When it gets to verse 23, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. In verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. So Jesus is emphasizing again and again to them, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, when you get towards the end of this chapter, Jesus makes this remarkable statement in the context of saying to them that if they love him, they'll keep his commandments, they'll keep his words, and in the context of telling them that when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, I'm coming to live in you, and therefore you're going to share my life. Because I live, you're going to live also. I'm going to be in you, and you're going to be in me. And you're going to participate in the life I live before the Father by the Holy Spirit. So you get to the end of the chapter, Jesus is speaking to them, and he says, verse 30, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father has commanded me, even so I do. Now, Jesus makes this statement in light of telling them, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my words. He's saying, this is what love looks like, loving God looks like. He said, I want the whole world to know that I love him, the Father. And he said, I'm going to keep his commandment, and I'm going to keep his commandment because I want for the whole world to know that I love him. Of course, the commandment to go to the cross, Jesus is doing that because he loves us, because God so loved the world. But here, Jesus said, it's also because he wants the whole world to know how much he loves God, how much he loves the Father. Now, this is the incarnate Christ, the Son of Man, saying this. It's a remarkable thing. I've often thought about that. Lord, I want to love you so much that the whole world will know how much I love you. Now, remember that Jesus is saying this as the Son of Man in the context of the worst possible circumstances you could ever imagine. The warfare is incredible. He just got through saying, I can't speak much with you in verse 30, for the ruler of this world is coming. So the warfare is now happening. And there's just such stuff going on. And yet in the context of the worst possible circumstances, Jesus said, it's in that context that I want the world to know how much I love the Father. And so that's been paramount over the years. It's been, Lord, I want the world to know how much I love you, so that even through the worst, especially through the worst set of circumstances and situations, I will keep your commandments out of love, and the whole world will know how much I love you. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. The reason that's in my heart to do that is because I'm joined to Christ, and I've been joined to his heart. Every one of you who are born again, every one of you desire, it's a desire in your heart, in the bottom of your heart, no matter what your walk has been, no matter how much you've messed up, in the bottom of your heart, I can promise you, and I know that you would say, yes, this is true, though it may be covered up and hidden away down in the bottom of your heart, there's this thing in you that says, I want to love him so much that the whole world will know I love him. And in the toughest situations, I want to display how much I love him. That's who you are. Those things in you that maybe you put it this way. Maybe you think, well, I ought to love him with all of my heart. I ought to love him even in the worst times. Those ought to's are really the want to's of your new heart. Again, you have a new nature. You have a new heart. And it's the nature and the heart of Christ. Romans 6, 10, 11. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that Jesus, is living, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. His walk with God is your walk with God. His walk with the Father and the Holy Spirit is your walk with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And in every one of you, if you're born again, your heart's desire is to live a life of obedience out of love, not out of duty, but out of delight. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Out of love, you want to live a life of obedience and to him. You want the whole world to know how much you love him. But the enemy keeps trying to push you down and condemn you because sometimes you've compromised. You've not always walked the way you should walk. But you need to know that you need to allow the new creation, that person that is in union with Jesus, that heart that's in union with Jesus, you let that person, that new creation, rise up in you. Surrender to that. Surrender to the Christ who is your life. Jesus said you're going to share his life. He's going to be in you and you're going to be in him. And so for all of you who desire to love Jesus so much that your obedience will be a display of how much you love him in front of the whole world, well, that's the real you. That's the real you. That's the real you that's in union with the heart of Christ, who wants to please the Father, who wants to express love to God. That's the new you. He's bent your heart back to God. He's made you one with him. So what am I supposed to do in light of that? Again, we've been talking about this a lot. We'll use this analogy a lot. The scripture says to put on Christ. And again, that word put on comes from two words in the original language, sink into. Your part is to simply let go of the resistance and sink into Jesus. Sink into that Christ who lives in you, to the one who's one with your heart. Sink into him, the one who's put this in you, who has joined you to his passion to live a life of obedience and express love to God. Simply sink into it. Say yes to it. And then thank him. And in that childlike faith, what you'll find out, you'll discover there's just this roaring thing, this lion of Judah inside of you that rises up in you. And you'll find yourself participating not just in his desire and passion to please God, but his ability rising up in you to live a life of obedience out of love because of your union with Christ. Amen? I hope that makes sense to you. I hope it encourages you to not let the enemy label you based on your failures, based on your compromises, or based on the times when you didn't get it right. Don't let the enemy label you. Who you are is who God says you are, and you are in Christ, a new creation. His heart is your heart. His desires are your desires. And your desire is to love God and to walk in obedience to him out of an expression of love. That's the real you that's one with Christ. Simply sink into that. Simply say yes to that. And in childlike faith, thank him. Thank him. Thank him that he's now rising up in you as your life, enabling you to supernaturally live the life of love's expressed obedience that you always long to. Okay? Well, God bless. Have a great rest of the day.